today on Compassion Radio.
And he's like, you know what? I never saw poor people before because I was a poor person. I was hungry. You know, I needed clothes. And he's like, God just broke my heart. He's like, I want to go back to my country and go find the poor, help rescue the forgotten, and start with like clean water. He's like, but I really feel like in my country, we have this generational cycle of poverty. We can break this through the education and giving the hope of Christ. And so he's like, can you come to the Ivory Coast? Can you help me? Can we work together to do something like this? And I'm like, phew, I would love to.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. You know, when you spend your life looking for Jesus around every corner, he's bound to show up. And when he does, it's safe to say that he'll be bringing powerful ministry opportunities with him. And friends, that means your chance to be a part of something that will count for eternity. Foundation Bread of Life is an international ministry that's doing some amazing work in Eastern Europe. For starters, they seek out the homeless, helpless, and the hungry in order to encourage them by meeting their immediate practical needs. Then, they empower, encourage, and equip people to live for something bigger than themselves. As we pick up today with part two of this interview, Bram and his guest are discussing a unique method of ministry involving a cup of tea. Here's Bram.
So, you're talking about traveling around to do some ministry work you wanted to do with city centers. And you were finding an invitation to go there, or you were just starting up from scratch just because you felt like God was sending you to these cities?
Yeah, we were going to these different cities to teach English.
Okay. Yeah. So you were setting up camp there and actually opening an office or something? How did you teach English?
No, there was already students there. It was a small Christian language school that we went to assist. Okay. So it was already established.
Got it.
So we just went there. The students were there.
And you're traveling. You're no longer laser focused on what you've got to get done today. You start actually looking around you and experiencing what God has you to see in this country.
Yes.
And you saw a lot of homelessness.
Yes. I saw a few. I didn't know how much or how many there were. And I later realized how much, you know, the need was to help these people. But so like in November, went to the train station and, you know, we're traveling and I went home and said, told my wife, I'm like, you know, I think I'm going to go down and help the homeless. So I went down after work about 10:30 at night, walked into the waiting room, and I took with me, instead of a cup of water in Jesus' name, I took tea. Because in November, tea is much, you know, nicer than a cup of water, right?
Well, if you brought a cup of water, you might be delivering an ice cube.
Yeah, right. So I walk into the waiting room at the train station, and there was about 80 homeless men, women, and teenagers.
Just cuddling inside the train station.
Yes, in this waiting room.
Because?
It was the only place you can go to get out of the cold.
Okay.
After communism, there wasn't a lot of opportunities. The social structure wasn't there. And so a lot of people were homeless.
And not every public building back then was heated.
Oh, yeah, and sometimes it depends on the building. Sometimes it wouldn't turn on the heat until it's been like 50 degrees for like five consecutive days or something like that. So sometimes it would be like cold for 3 days and it would warm up. You're like, come on, stay cold for 5 days so it could turn on the heat.
Yeah. So they're finding the few public accommodations they can find where the heat will probably be on, and there might be some opportunity to maybe get a meal if possible or passerby to beg from or something. So train stations would be it.
Yeah, so train stations are under the street, you know, the steam pipes, maybe other places you would go. But yeah, so I walked in the waiting room with a small thermos of tea, and I brought with me 3 cups. But I didn't realize that there would be about 80 people there. Ooh. So I sat down in the chair, you know, looking around, and I just began this prayer of panic. God, multiply this like the fish and the bread. You know, this would be a great missionary story, you know, everybody will love it. Plus, I didn't know how to say, like, I don't have any more. Don't hurt me. You know, I'm a friend. I'm trying to help. And then I begin to, the second part of my prayer, I'm like, God, I know the tea is good for, what, 5 minutes? And then what? Like, I really wanted to do it in Jesus' name and give them the hope of the gospel. So I finished my prayer, and I sat there thinking, okay, who do I go to first? And I saw a guy digging in the garbage can, and he pulled out an old cup, and he was drinking the liquid from that. Because there's no public drinking fountains there. So he was drinking that liquid. So I said, okay, this is the first guy. I'll go over to him, and I'll give him a cup of tea. As I served that cup of tea, 2 other guys came over. And I served those second cup, third cup, and I'm waiting for this multiplication, you know, like the fish or the bread. And that was it. Yeah. There was no multiplication. So I stood there with the guys. I'm like, well, you know, pray for them in English and just said a prayer for the guys. Went home, you know, shared my experience with my wife and said, you know what, I'm going to go buy a bigger thermos. I'll go get more cups. And later to realize within those first 9 months, God did multiply those 3 cups of tea, because we realized that we ended up passing out, my wife, our students, people from the church, we invited them to come with us. And it became a really social hour at the train station, and people mm-hmm. loved it. We realized that we ended up distributing about 10,500 cups of tea. Wow. We served about 6,100 meals, and 17 people gave their lives to Christ wow. at the train station. Mm-hmm. So I thought, wow, God, you really are doing something. Mm-hmm. And from there, it continues to grow and to expand. And it's really interesting at the beginning, because we talk about, you know, culturally and helping people. You know, the homeless people always had two questions for me. The first question is, why are you here? You're an American in 2001. Why are you in Poland?
Yeah.
You know, average almost nationally was almost 20% unemployment. It was difficult times, it was different times. You know, I remember on the street seeing elderly with tattoos of numbers on their forearms from concentration yeah. camps. And so it was really tough. And that first winter, 300 people froze to death in Poland. Mm. And so these homeless people say, why are you here? Mm-hmm. So I was trying to think of some, you know, deep theological answer, some verses. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just here to tell you that God loves you. That's plain and simple. And then they had a second question for me. They said, why are you helping me? Mm. So I was trying to think of something deep, you know, to say, profound. Why am I helping you? I'm like, you know what? I guess just the simple answer is, I love you too. And so during that time, you know, sharing the gospel with people just in a genuine way that I think they could understand, not, you know, in a religious way, but just in a loving way. And one of the guys that came to translate for me, his name was Tomek, and he would translate these questions for me in the gospel from over these months. And then my wife had this idea when I was out of town. She's like, I'm going to start inviting the homeless people to our flat. I'm getting them showers and wash their clothes. And I'm like, is that safe? You know? You know, she was
so you were out there doing ministry and your wife was actually being brave.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Yeah. And so after about 6 months, Tomek looked at me and he's like, you know what? Salvation is really great. Mm. I said, why is that? He's like, it's free. So yeah. I'm like, you got it. And during that time, I didn't realize at the beginning, but he was a practicing Zen Buddhist. But he would translate the gospel for me. And he came, and he learned it, and he loved it. So he finished his master's there, went back to his hometown of Kalisz, and couldn't get a job. His hometown, I think, was almost 35 or 40% unemployment at that time.
Wow.
So he did what he knew best. He made cups of tea, went to their train station, and started helping the homeless.
And now he is one of the leaders within the foundation, within Bread of Life, supervising the projects in his hometown Kalisz, having wonderful contacts with the local authorities to such a way that people come to ask him, local officials call him and they ask him, could you as a foundation do this project? Mm-hmm. Could you do this prevention project? Could you do this, help us with distribution of whatever amongst the poor? Yeah. Because you know how to do that. You know the way. And they don't bother that we share Jesus, because they know that what we are doing, we do it in the proper way. We do it in a good way, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it gives wonderful opportunities, because even the local authorities, they want to contribute financially.
Yeah.
So we give our part, and they're able to multiply the amount of money that we were able to gather for such a project, even by four, in reaching out to the homeless.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Friends, since 1999, Compassion Radio and its partners, that means you, have been doing something extraordinary. We've reached out in very practical ways to save the lives of abandoned babies in South Africa. Now, there are orphanages all over the world. Why this one? Well, because of a singularly amazing family and a marvelous transformational idea. And the idea was this: make it easier to save a life than to waste a life. Well, on the surface, that sounds like a ridiculous mission statement, but consider this. At the end of the 20th century, at the height of the AIDS crisis in South Africa, dozens of babies were being abandoned by mothers with no hope each and every month. Being infected and outcast, often addicted to drugs and unable to afford to care for their newborn, and facing arrest if they tried to give up their babies to authorities, the desperate took desperate measures. They were convinced their babies would die anyway. Until, that is, the Berea Baptist Church and the Allen family made that radical statement and did something about the crisis. Since the day they cut a hole in their church wall and put an incubator in it, they've rescued thousands of infants from certain death. No longer would a hopeless mother have to add murder to her burden of guilt. You, friends, had compassion on both mother and child through your generous giving. I'm asking you again for it now. The reason is obvious. There's still a need. And the work of Door of Hope keeps getting better. The new Hope Village is under construction, and when it's done, hundreds of kids not adopted will be raised in family groups in a nurturing community with its own playgrounds, church, elementary, and trade schools. Door of Hope showed us how to save a life once. Now they're showing us how to save lives time and time again, and as a result, saving generations. Will you give generously this year? It's our 20th anniversary of this project. And here's the best part. One of our generous Compassion Radio partners is providing a special matching challenge grant. If you give, they will match your gift, but only during the current month. $4,000 has been set aside for this special matching grant for the month of February. I'm asking you to make sure that every dime of that challenge grant is at least doubled or multiplied many times over. So give today. Here are four ways you can do just that. Call 1-800-868-2478 or go online to CompassionRadio.com right now to make your gift. Or send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And lastly, and maybe best of all, you can donate in under a minute by simply texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you, friends, for helping Door of Hope save a whole new generation of precious children with your generous gift today.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
We talk a lot about multiplication being a scriptural principle. It seems to me like in context, though, what we're talking about is leverage. By getting something, investing it, and then using it as a lever to change things so that others will invest themselves as well. Other believers would come into the fold with us and multiply through their lives and become the leverage that moves things again. Now, Renier, when you went with Richard and his wife to begin this outreach, were you there as part of this first outreach to the homeless?
I was his friend. Mm. He did it. He was called, and I was encouraging him, but he actually did it himself. It was only after a few years that he asked me, as a good friend of his, you know, Renier, could you join us on the kind of supervising council for the foundation, because we need some supervision, we need our financial reporting, okay, we need to have some, well, stability, accountability within the foundation, so could you join? 2010 I joined the foundation and have been involved ever since. So over the last 8 years I had a chance to really get to know the operations, the projects, the way of acting. And, well, the foundation as such has no secrets for me anymore. Mm. So, of course, I've been taking part every now and then in various projects, but I was not the operational guy. Yeah. That's only something that happened since last January. Mm.
But along the way, Richard, seems like your example in doing something simple and selfless, but self-interested in that because Jesus lives within you, you want to do something to bring glory to him.
Yes.
So you want his name to be renowned.
Yeah.
Where you're going. And he gives away things freely. You don't have much to give, but what you do have, you do give away freely. Mm-hmm. And you went to the homeless who needed it the most. You discovered the need in the country where you were. And it sounds to me like in the process, you discovered what God had for you in Poland, period. That you wouldn't have known it had you not at least come as naive as you were, as willing as you were, but not knowing what to expect, or expecting the wrong things, perhaps, and discovering what God did have for you. That transformation in you has power because you're saying, I don't know what to say about why I'm here. God brought me here, and he just wants to say he loves you, and I guess I do too. You're discovering his capacity and compassion and emulating him. So God is multiplying the best of things through both of you, and of course, two are better than one at this stuff. So you have skills that God invested in you earlier. Mm-hmm. You are an organizer. You are an engineer, I guess.
Yes, civil engineer.
So you understand how systems work, and that includes people.
Yes.
So tell me now, if you would, about the work you're doing and how that work with the homeless has then morphed into other things.
is more
you start?
A lot of things. You know, passing out three cups of tea is very simple.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wish I just did that. But, you know, how God would have it, things would grow and multiply, just like you said. So fast forward to today, we work in three different countries, in multiple cities throughout Poland. So we work in Poland, and we work in Moldova, the poorest country in Europe.
Yeah.
And then we work in West Africa and Ivory Coast.
That's a perfect combination.
Yes, yes.
And I'm sure there are links somehow.
There's a link. So just like, you know, Tomek, you know, came and served, got involved in, you know, we call this thing discipleship. You know, you live life on life with people and you teach them what God's taught you. And they go out and they do the same things. So we had a student come, because I've also pastored an international church in Poznan. Okay. And it's a really interesting, dynamic church. You know, at first when I was pastoring it, I said, this is great. We had people come in from all over the world. You get worship leader, you know, Sunday school teachers, you know, get the church built up. And then within like 4 or 5 years, they're gone.
Gone. Because they're like, internationals, and they've been there for a time.
Nobody told me that. So I was like, oh, man.
That's an emotional roller coaster.
Right? And so one of our assistant pastors is like, man, this is like building sandcastles. You build it, and it gets washed away. And at that same moment, I thought for a second, and God just touched my heart, and he's like, wait, this is like really like you're building rockets, and you're sending people back into the world. And so we give a wonderful opportunity for internationals and also Polish people to be involved in Bread of Life and to engage and to learn. And so we had a guy come from Ivory Coast to the International Church, and he came on a scholarship. He had only like $1 to his name. He grew up orphan. His uncle raised him. And so he got involved in Bread of Life, and he started serving the poor and the hungry. And he's like, you know what? I never saw poor people before, because I was a poor person. I was hungry. You know, I needed clothes. And he's like, God just broke my heart. He's like, I want to go back to my country and go find the poor, help rescue the forgotten, and start with like clean water. He's like, but I really feel like in my country, we have this generational cycle of poverty. We can break this through the education and give them the hope of Christ. And so he's like, can you come to Ivory Coast? Can you help me? Can we work together to do something like this?
Cool.
And I'm like, phew, I would love to. And so we've seen that, you know, grow and develop into Ivory Coast. And we're seeing many, many people from the international church and also the Polish people saying, hey, can you come to my city? I want to do the same thing. And, you know, it's very simple to pass out a cup of tea. But I think the power is when you do it in Jesus' name. Because then it leads on to other things. Like, you know, we started collecting clothes because homeless would say, hey, do you have a jacket for me? Do you have shoes? Do you have some more food? And at the beginning, you know, we were 26. I'm like, you know, I've got maybe shoes, but do you have size 13? Probably not, you know, and then food is like, well, we start collecting food, and you know, and the long story short, you know, we get a phone call from someone. It's like, hey, I've got some food for you. I'm like, okay. He's like, do you have freezer space? I'm like, yeah, we have a freezer. He's like, no, do you have freezer space? I'm like, well, we can buy another freezer. He's like, no, do you have a freezer? And I'm like, well, what do you got? He's like, I've got 22,000 meals. Like you, when you fly on the airplane, you pull back the tin foil.
Oh my goodness.
He's like, I've got 22,000 meals for you guys. I'm like, okay, great. So we called the other orphanages, other like churches, were like, meet us here, you know?
Yeah.
So we distributed that, and then he'd call again, I've got 18,000 meals, or I've got 12,000 bags of garlic shrimp like you buy at the grocery store.
Tell me again how this all came through this person.
We talk to people and say, hey, you know, there was a food fair going on. And we said, hey, you guys have any food you'd like to donate and stuff like that? And so this came about.
And having all this food, then we needed more contact. So we contacted a food bank, our local food bank. Yeah. Offering so much, you build a relationship. Yeah. So there's this cooperation. So on a regular basis, at least twice a month, we distribute a whole van of food to the poor. And when they have something special, they call us, we call them, and it's this cooperation that we can reach out.
And this is in your city of Poznan.
Yeah.
You're doing this primary work and inspiring others around the country.
Yeah.
Hold there for a second. I just want to mention the course. That the thing keeps resonating in my mind is the sheep and the goats. Jesus separates them and says, you know, come into my kingdom, you who saw me hungry, naked, and thirsty. Every time I read that scripture, it's not so much about the people that said, when did we see you that way and not do this? And when did we see you and do this? Those questions are kind of incidental to me. I'm looking at the checklist. God's saying, these are the things that people need. You know, that's the first thing in the story. Naked, unclothed, needing water, needing food, needing to be visited in prison. So I think about all the times where you have the opportunity now to see these literal situations. you go right to the checklist and say, this is what pleases God.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that he always enables the thing to be done that he wants done.
That's right.
He never sets you up to fail. He's mm-hmm. not trying to make a fool out of you. Mm-hmm. He's trying to feed the poor.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he will enable you to do it. And you're finding new relationships that are helping that to happen.
Yeah. And it's wonderful that we don't have to look for the opportunities because, well, the poor, the people in need, the people we have to visit, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And because of the relationships that we build, people come to us and they ask, can you start a project there? Yeah. Can you assist us with your reputation, with your contacts?
And your credibility.
Credibility, yeah. Because we exist now for over 15 years. And yeah. that has done a good thing. We have been taking part in various projects. We had various grants from local authorities to European Union. So we have our name established.
Yeah.
And that helps mm-hmm. to be trustworthy. And this gives us the opportunity to go there where we are asked. And that's something fantastic. We don't have to spend lots of time and energy in all whatever forms of acquisition. That we look for the place, where could we serve? No. They come to us and they ask, we would love you to do a project in our town.
We're talking about the authorities, not just the people in need, but people actually have the responsibility.
Yes. Mayors, vice mayors, priests.
Let me explore with you a couple of seconds about the problem of success. When you do a job well in ministry, and all of this is being done in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But over a course of time, the system itself becomes pretty self-sufficient in that it has enough relationships to sustain the work you do with the poor. And then, as happens in many situations with many organizations over the years, it becomes a humanitarian effort mm-hmm. rather than a missional effort. So what are you learning about the tension between just meeting needs and keeping Jesus at the center of it?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that God's taught me, and God really, like, go back a long, long way. He really broke my heart. When I was 19, I went to Kenya and worked with street kids. And there was one moment where I was giving bread to kids, and I ran out of bread, and then I was reading the Bible. And, like, these kids, street kids, 4, 5, 6, 7, the 6-year-old, 7-year-old came back up to me, and he returned his bread. And he's like, you know, can you just give me the bread of life? Can you just read Bible to me and give the bread to some other kid who's hungry? Wow. I thought, you know, 7-year-olds said that to me. At that moment, I'm like, I think I probably would have taken the bread. You know, and so, you know, when Jesus says he's the bread of life, he really is the bread of life. And, you know, a 7-year-old taught me that. And so we named our organization Bread of Life. So we took that from Jesus to keep that the forefront of the ministry. To keep our focus and, you know, whatever we do, like, in Jesus' name, just like the cup of water. So I think that's very helpful for us to keep that focus, and no matter what project that we do. Mm-hmm. And to see always God be faithful in that ministry.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, you know, my wife, I think she was going to kill me. Because, you know, we went for 2 years originally. And, you know, the homeless are like, hey, well, do you have a place for me to live? And I'm like, no, you know, I don't even have a house, so we live in a flat. And so God led on my heart to build a home, you know, for a transition home for homeless men to get back in society as a productive citizen. And so my wife and I looked at some property, renovations, estimated cost about $100,000.
Yeah.
So we came back to the States, you know, told a bunch of people about this amazing project, and we raised $50. Mm. You know, it's like, okay, God, that's it. So, but we weren't discouraged because awesome things were happening. People were coming to know Christ.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.